This is The Takeaway. Twin explosions in the Ugandan capital, Kampala, killed at least 74 soccer fans watching the World Cup final on Sunday.
The details are so grisly on that.
Yet they're still relatively sketchy. It's not that we know a huge amount about what happened or why, but we do have eyewitness accounts from survivors and people surrounding the two bomb sites. They describe chairs covered in blood, abandoned cars littering the nearby road.
We were watching soccer here, and then when it was like remaining like 3 minutes to the end of the match, an explosion came from here, and it was so loud.
I just had a blast and smoke. People were panicking, everyone trying to find a way to get out.
And then the second one went off.
People started falling and running, people carrying dead bodies, people down on the ground, and some dead on their chairs.
The Somali Islamist group Al-Shabaab has claimed responsibility for the attacks. The radical militant group has established a foothold in Somalia's ungoverned territories. They're fighting a war to take down Somalia's weak Western-backed government. Until now, the violence out of Somalia has been limited to the Nile Delta countries, the ones that are closer to Saudi Arabia. But these twin bombings in the mountainous regions of Uganda mark the first time that Al-Shabaab has made good on threats to attack outside of Somalia. What does that mean? We can ask that of David Shin. He's a former ambassador to Ethiopia and now professor of international affairs at George Washington University. David, first, we got a claim of responsibility for Al-Shabaab. I assume that that is reliable. Why? What is the motivation for this group to bomb Uganda?
I think that claim is one that we should accept. And the motivation is fairly straightforward. Uganda has supplied the bulk of the troops for the African Union peacekeeping force in Mogadishu, which is in effect propping up the transitional federal government, the very government that Al-Shabaab is trying to overthrow. In addition, the Ugandan leadership is permitting the security forces of the transitional federal government to be trained inside Uganda by Western trainers, particularly those from the European Union, and much of the financing is done by the United States. That is why Al-Shabaab has targeted Uganda.
Well, tell me a little bit about this group, Al-Shabaab. Somalia, when we speak of the Somali government, we're not talking about some kind of stable, accepted government that rules over a country. We were talking about a relatively fragile group that's only kept propped up by Western aid and by other African peacekeeping troops. So what about this Al-Shabaab? Are they actually ruling, governing parts of the country?
Al-Shabaab does control about 50% of Somalia. They are effectively a breakaway group from the Islamic court structure that ruled even slightly more than 50% of the country back in 2006 before the Ethiopian forces took control of Somalia. And they were the radicals. They separated from the more moderate members of the Islamic courts, one of whom is now the president of Somalia as part of the transitional federal government. So there was a major split that took place among the Islamists themselves. And they have developed an ideology that calls for an Islamic caliphate in Somalia, if not a wider region. They want a very, very strong version of Sharia adopted. They do want to reincorporate those parts of Ethiopia and Kenya that are inhabited by Somali ethnic group members. They have an agenda that is very much feared by the neighboring countries.
We also have with us Joshua Mali. He's the Swahili correspondent for a partner of the BBC. Good morning, Josh.
Hello.
Do you have any more further details about the twin bombing attacks? We got this claim of responsibility for Al-Shabaab. What else do we know?
Well, at the moment, the police are saying they've made some arrests. They arrested a number of people yesterday, but they cannot quite give the details of who and how many people were arrested. Also, yesterday they discovered a vest, a suicide vest, that's what they say, that had been abandoned at a bar on a table. And they're saying the components of that vest are very similar to what was used in the blast on Sunday.
Okay, and do they also have they also made any comments about further arrests or whether or not that this is going to affect the Ugandan peacekeeping mission in Somalia?
At the moment, it's only the police who have been talking about the arrests they've made, and they're saying there will be more arrests. They're continuing with the investigations. The government, the opposition has been calling for the government to withdraw Ugandan forces from Somalia, but the government seems to be adamant to keep the forces there. So.
Okay, that is Joshua Mali. He's the BBC's Swahili correspondent joining us from Uganda. David, it seems to me that these bombing attacks, which are the first by al-Shabaab outside of Somalia, it seems to me they're a sign that either al-Shabaab is stronger or weaker than we thought. It's either a sign of desperation or a show of force. What do you think?
I do not think that it's a sign of desperation. I think it is a show of force. I'm not sure that I would consider them to be any stronger than at least those of us who have tried to study this topic for the last several years have done. I think it is an indication that they have simply put the pieces together after claiming that they would do so for some months now and carried out an attack outside of Somalia. They've wanted to do this. They've threatened to do it in Kenya and in Burundi and in other countries where they have not so far done anything. But they have simply shown that they do have the capability of doing apparently a suicide bomb attack in a location outside the country.
Well, we do have the summit of the African Union in Kampala at the end of this month with 50 heads of state gathering there in the Ugandan capital. I must assume that as if it goes forward, that it'll be tightened security. But will these attacks intimidate any African nations and keep them from getting involved in Somalia?
I don't believe so. I think that the countries will show resolve to stay with Somalia. The conference will go forward, and I think it will be a major item on the agenda, however, and it will raise a lot of questions.
Ambassador David Shin is the former ambassador to Ethiopia. He's now a professor of international affairs at George Washington University.
That bombing really ripples from Eritrea all the way down to the Tanzanian border there in East Africa.
You know, Uganda isn't even next to Somalia. This is a relatively highly technical effort.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.